Bart de Dubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is Bob Griggs, and it's our privilege and joy to be able to come to you again to share the truth of the eternal God. And we're looking into this subject about God being triune. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bible, I hope you'll follow along with us as we get into this study again. Last time I ran over time again, about 20 seconds beyond what I should have stopped, and so I'll try to watch the clock a little more carefully this time. But I get so excited as we study the Word together. It's such a joy and a blessing to share the Word of the living Christ. Matthew 28:19-20. Here we have read last time concerning the Lord Jesus meeting his disciples in a mountain in Galilee, and he gave them the Great Commission. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The first thing that we teach anybody is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After a person has accepted Christ as Savior, the next act of obedience is baptism, baptizing them in the name. And remember, the word baptism comes from a Greek word meaning baptizo, meaning to immerse, to put under the water, because baptism pictures death, burial, and resurrection. That's what baptism is a picture of. The death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection from the grave. And when a person has believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they follow the Lord in baptism. That is a literal picture of that individual's faith in Christ. They believe Christ died for their sins, was buried, and arose to walk in newness of life, as we're told in the book of Romans, chapter 6. And so, beloved, baptism pictures that. And so, after a person's saved, they're to follow the Lord in baptism. And then notice in the name. Now, we've discussed this before. The name is singular, not plural, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, if you'll look with me, please, to the book of Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians, and there in Galatians, chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20. Here we note a very interesting statement. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, I want you to notice that. God is one, beloved. He is not three gods. There are not three different gods. God is one. But he reveals himself to man as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to get into this more as we study. And so, follow along with me. God is one. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. the book of Deuteronomy. And that is the fifth book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, in the front of your Bible. Deuteronomy, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and chapter 6 and verse 4. Here again, we see this emphasized and repeated as Moses was writing the law, and he wrote the first five books of the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And the book of Deuteronomy was the last book he wrote. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and notice verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." One Lord. And so again, God is one, beloved. And then one more time, go with me back to the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, and verse 29. Mark 12:29. "And Jesus answered them, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now notice that. Again, it's emphasized. And Jesus himself is saying that God is one. And he's making that clear, that there's one Lord, one God, one Redeemer of mankind. Now, we're going to consider this name more and more as we get into the Word. Go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to the book of beginnings, for that's what Genesis is. It's the book of beginnings. And here in Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now, the word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. It is a uniplural word, uniplural, meaning more than one, uniplural, more than one. And yet it's one word, meaning more are implying the Trinity. The Trinity is hidden in this word, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, Jesus began to reveal the Trinity, and that's one of the reasons he came. Of course, he came to redeem man from sin. He came to give us life eternal. He came to die in our place, to make a way whereby we could be forgiven and be given life eternal and to live eternally with the eternal God. Jesus came, of course, to die for our sins, to be buried, and to arise victor over death, hell, and the grave. But Jesus also came to teach us many things about God. So much about God was hidden in the Old Testament. Now, I want you to remember this wonderful truth. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. We've mentioned this before. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So many wonderful truths hidden in the Old Testament are clarified and made clear in the New Testament. It unlocks and opens up wonderful truth that was hidden in the Old Testament, that was not known, that was not understood, that was not seen in the Old Testament, that's now revealed and unlocked and made known in the New Testament. For instance, the Lamb. so many lambs were slain in the Old Testament. And why were the lambs killed? Well, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, we're told, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. And so there had to be the shedding of blood. But why a lamb? Why not some other animal? Why a lamb? Because it's revealed in the New Testament that God's Lamb would die on an old rugged cross for the sins of mankind. And that's the way John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God. Wow! That opened the eyes of a lot of Jewish people when they heard that Jesus was called the Lamb of God. Why, they knew about lambs because they'd been raising lambs, and they'd been killing lambs, and offering lamb as sacrifices. And so what does it mean that Jesus is the Lamb of God? Well, beloved, if they'd stop to really think about it, they'd realize that He, a lamb, was crucified, a lamb was offered as sacrifice for man's sin. And Jesus was going to be God's Lamb, the one who would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And thus, beloved, that Old Testament truth that was so long hidden and hard to understand, like when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, God told them to take a lamb, that every family was to take a lamb. And they were to pin the lamb up for 4 days to test it to make sure it had no disease, that it was without spot and blemish. And then they were to offer the lamb, and the blood was to be put on the mantle and doorposts of each one of the homes. And everyone that was behind the blood was protected from the death angel that passed through the land. And so it was a beautiful picture of God's Lamb, who someday would be slain for the sins of mankind. And we're told in the New Testament that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, beloved, you see, so many wonderful truths that were hidden in the Old Testament are clarified and made clear in the New Testament. And so, beloved, the truth about the Trinity of God begins to be revealed in the New Testament. Till next time, goodbye.